An antitrust lawsuit against Google has gone to trial after 3 years. The Justice Department and 38 states and territories are alleging that Google has violated antitrust law by excluding potential competitors, thus illegally gaining a monopoly on the search engine industry. Google owns more than 90% of the search market and permeates every part of the internet. Google says the monopoly is due to the superiority of its product. The Justice Department says it's because Google has illegally excluded its competitors through multi-billion-dollar deals with other tech companies, most notably Apple. Google's monopoly on search isn't just a legal issue, though. Many tech industry experts have argued that Google's massive size has deteriorated the quality of its search engine over the years, prompting a decline in the overall user experience. We're talking about Google's monopoly on search and what happens when a company becomes so large that it virtually has no competition. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like the quality of Google search has declined over the years? What has changed for you? And do you think Google has reached its monopoly status unfairly? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Cory Doctorow is a science fiction author, activist, and journalist who's covered the tech industry for many years. His latest book is The Internet Con, How to Seize the Means of Computation. And his next book, The Lost Cause, will be out November 14th. Cory, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure to be on.
Give us an overview of the antitrust suit against Google. What exactly is the Justice Department alleging?
Well, they're arguing that Google engaged in anti-competitive conduct, including buying default status on all the various services where you might go to make a search, whether that's your iPhone or a Samsung phone or other devices or services, and that they did that not because they had the best service and they wanted to make sure that you didn't get disappointed by trying something that might be better, but because they really wanted to be sure that no one would fund a search engine that might be better than theirs. And if they did, that superior search engine would not find any purchase in the market. And then, you know, they're alleging further that once they attained this dominance, once they knew that searchers couldn't go anywhere else and that advertisers really had only one game for search advertising, which is the evidence points to that being the best kind of advertising in terms of getting people to click on something and buy something or do something, that once they had that market, they made things worse for advertisers and end users, degrading quality. So we were all left with worse service, that was more expensive, and that did us worse.
So what is Google's defense? What are they saying?
Oh, well, Google just says we're the best, right? They say we're the best. And, you know, if you find that the web is not as good as it used to be, that's your problem and not ours. You know, and maybe there's a little implication from Google that, you know, if there's more junky results in Google that have somehow gamed its algorithm to get to those top listings, that it's because everybody searches at Google because they know they're the best. And so if you're a spammer, you're going to spend all your time trying to figure out how to break Google. But when that happens, Google figures it out and they fix it. And I think that the problem with this is that there's not really a counterfactual. We don't have another search engine that Google allowed to take hold that we could compare it to see whether the problems Google's having producing good, reliable search results are because it's lazy and doesn't have the discipline of competition, or because it's just, you know, gotten much harder because the bad guys really have it in for good results.
I'm curious what you make of Google's argument in court that smart people, smart employees, rather than expensive deals, are really responsible for the company's success.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny because you can maybe look at how they spend their money to figure out where their priorities are and what they believe about those employees. So, you know, Google fired 12,000 employees last year after doing a stock buyback that would have paid those wages for 27 years. They were caught in a criminal wage fixing conspiracy with the other big tech companies to stop employees from bidding up their wages by switching companies. And so they did this illegal no poach agreement. And meanwhile, it's pretty clear that they're spending, you know, multiple Twitters every couple of years on keeping default search position. It looks like the actual figure for the Google-Apple deal every year, which is the deal to make Google the default search engine on iOS and Safari, is about a $19 billion a year deal. It's the biggest deal that either company does, the largest expenditure Google makes, the largest source of income from any one source that Apple has. And so, you know, it would be pretty weird if they were spending $19 billion on default position and firing 12,000 employees, but they blamed their success on employees and not being the default.
We're talking about the antitrust case against Google with tech industry expert Cory Doctorow, and we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you use Google Search or do you avoid it? If so, which search engine do you use? And have you found it difficult to completely avoid using Google at all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. We're talking about the antitrust case against Google and how monopoly affects the quality of a product. Our guest is tech industry expert Cory Doctorow, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the quality of companies decline when they become as big as Google is? And how do you think a monopoly affects the quality of a company's products? Call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We have Crash with us calling now from Milwaukee. Hi, Crash.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
I'm happy to. I was thrilled to hear the subject when I got in my van this morning. I don't know what the ins and outs are of the advertisement deal, but as a Google user, and I'm 46 years old, so I've used Google since the beginning, I find the quality of the search has gone down exponentially. Used to be able that I could put in kind of a vague phrase, and with just a couple of clicks, I could get exactly what I was looking for. Now, it seems to take me hither, thither, and yon, and doesn't seem to be able to find what I'm looking for at all. And when I do find what I'm looking for, it's usually after a whole page, or at least a half a page, of either ads or sponsored hits.
Well, I'm curious what you can say about that, Cory, because is that what you're hearing from other people? Is Crash's experience typical?
Yeah, I think that's a widespread perception that not only are the organic search results to actual web pages that Google guesses would be a good match for your query not as good as they used to be, but they're further down on the page and harder to find. And they've been crowded out by what Google calls like its knowledge box, which is where it's extracting some text from a random web page and sticking it up there to try and answer your query. There's a bit of viral stuff going around right now where if you type what countries in Africa begin with a K, this junk text that may or may not have been generated by an AI comes up as in a little box that says no countries in Africa begin with a K. The closest is Kenya, which, although it sounds like it begins with a K, actually begins with a K. So just, you know, errant nonsense. So, you know, on the one hand, the results aren't as good. And on the other hand, they're harder to get to because they've been crowded out by even worse results. Ads, including ads to scam websites and so on. It's a bit of the food here is terrible and the portions are so small problem. You know, notoriously this summer, Google's knowledge box for airline phone numbers. So if you typed in the name of an airline and phone number, like American Airline phone number, all of those listings got hacked and Google just started serving 800 numbers that went to a boiler room where con artists would take your credit card and clean you out. I actually got rooked by one of these. I had a friend over and we were going to order some Thai food and watch a movie. And so I went on my phone and tried to order some Thai food from our local place. And I clicked the top link after typing their name into Google and placed my order. And 10 minutes later, the restaurant called me up and said, "You've been scammed. That's someone who copied our website, raised our prices by 15%, bought the ad for our name on Google. And when people click it and order, they take your money, they place the order with us, and then you come and get it and you just think that we're price gouging you. You don't even realize you've been rooked. We're going to cancel your order. You can just come and pick it up and pay for it in the store," which is what I ended up doing. And, you know, the amazing thing about this is that Google actually knows which is the real merchant, because Google has this verified merchant program where they, if you sign up and say, hi, I'm, you know, your local Thai restaurant with Google, Google checks and then mails a postcard to the address that you are supposed to be located at with a number on it. And then you have to type that number into the web to verify that you're really at that address. So Google could or should have known that ad was for a scam site, but they took the money anyway, either because they wanted the scam revenue, which I don't think is the case. I think it's more the case that if they devoted the energy that it would take to making sure that there were no scams, that the costs would outstrip the benefits to them. And so I end up paying the cost in the form of more expensive Thai food.
Oh, that's crazy, Corey. Corey Doctorow is our guest today on Central Time. Still time to weigh in, 800-642-1234, as we discuss the ins and outs of Google search, along with that lawsuit that they are battling with the U.S. government. You and others have argued that Google's monopoly and size are directly connected to the quality of its search engines, and you've written that monopoly drives mediocrity. I'm curious about that phrase. Explain that.
Well, look, I think any of us who are of a certain age can remember Lily Tomlin on Rowan McMahon's Laugh-In saying, we're the phone company, we don't have to care, in her fake AT&T ads. You know, companies are disciplined by three things, right? They are disciplined by the fear that a competitor will take their business. They're disciplined by the fear that a regulator will find them. And especially in the digital world, they're disciplined by the fear that their customers might do something to claw back some value that they've taken away. So, you know, raise the price of a turkey leg at Disney World, and all of a sudden you've got to pay security guards to pat people down for sandwiches that they bring in. In the case of Google, that self-help looks more like ad blockers and jailbreaking and all the things that we do that make the web better for us, but worse for Google shareholders. Now, when a company reaches a certain scale, it no longer really has to worry about you taking your business elsewhere, especially if they've got the excess capital to make sure that you never discover another potential search engine. If they're spending $19 billion a year to make sure that no Apple device owner ever accidentally tries a search engine and discovers they like it better. So they're not really worried about you leaving. They're not really worried about regulators, because when companies reach a certain scale, they can just tie their regulators in knots. You know, when IBM finally got brought up on antitrust charges in 1970, they outspent the Department of Justice on lawyers every year for the next 12 consecutive years. They were spending more on lawyers than the U.S. government on antitrust. And so when companies reach a certain scale, they can just thumb their nose at regulation. Apple very famously, you know, they kicked Facebook surveillance out of the iPhone. So if you use an iPhone, you tick one box and Facebook can't spy on you. But Apple simultaneously turned on secret spying of its users for the same purpose, to target ads and of the same data that Facebook was gathering. Google has thumbed its nose at more regulations than I've had hot dinners. So it doesn't really have to worry about regulators either. And then finally, you know, because when companies attain a certain scale, regulators can be captured and be brought to bear against people who do things that their shareholders don't like, they can stop you from taking any kind of self-help measures. So, you know, you can install an ad blocker on your browser for now, although the new version of Chrome is making it harder and harder to do ad and privacy blocking. But installing an ad blocker on a phone, getting ad blockers, which is to say privacy blockers on your phone, involves reverse engineering the apps. And because reverse engineering an encrypted app is a violation of an old Clinton era law, the Section 1201 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the people who give you the tools to bypass those digital locks and ad block those apps, they can go to jail for 5 years and pay a $500,000 fine for a first offense. Now, Jay Freeman calls this felony contempt of business model, right? The criminalization of things that would otherwise be lawful, and whose major defect is that they make life better for you and worse for the companies that you do business with. And so, shorn of any discipline from competition, from regulation, or from their customers themselves taking self-help measures, the company is free to shift value to itself. And one of the ways it can do that is just by lowering quality, just by being worse, because being good is expensive. It means discipline. It means throwing away things that don't work in order to replace them with things that do. It means constantly reevaluating yourself. It means never becoming complacent. You know, everyone agrees that the one thing that markets can do is whip companies into a froth of productivity. It's not just, you know, Milton Friedman who thought that. The first chapter of the Communist Manifesto is just Marx and Engels geeking out on how incredibly productive and creative capitalism can be when sufficiently driven by competition. And so it follows that when you take the competition away, that signal virtue dwindles.
We have about 60 seconds left in our time together. Bottom line, what's going to happen with this case? What's the most likely outcome of the antitrust case in your view?
It's 10 years of litigation, whatever happens, depending, I guess, on the next president. But the most important outcome is that it's going to discipline people in Google and outside of Google, because no one is going to want to have all of their internal embarrassing memos entered into evidence into court. No one's going to want to have to spend millions of dollars on lawyers. No one's going to want to have every acquisition they're trying to make or key hire that they're trying to attempt in go south because they're mired in ugly litigation. You know, sometimes you got to execute an admiral to encourage the others. And dragging Google down a gravel road for the next 10 years tied to the bumper of the DOJ is going to make other corporate executives think twice before they pull the same shenanigans.
Well, we'll certainly be watching to see what happens, even though it sounds like it's going to take a while. Corey, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Corey Doctorow is science fiction author. He's an activist and journalist who has covered the tech industry for many years. His latest book is The Internet Con, How to Seize the Means of Computation. He talked to us about the Google antitrust case.